The word of the Lord. So again, welcome to week two of our four-week summer series, Pressure Points, where we are reflecting on some of the ways the world around us creates anxiety and pressures us in particular ways: productivity, popularity, and perfection, and how we can approach those from a biblical and theological perspective so that we can understand them more faithfully and constructively. Today we're going to take some time to consider productivity, both the role it plays in our lives as well as some strategies we can use to keep this pressure from boiling over. However, before doing so, I do want to give a quick recap from last week, since the information that Travis shared is foundational for the next 3 weeks. So Travis brought up how anxiety is essentially a universal human experience. This is a lesson we learn early on and are reminded of often. And the potential health impacts of excessive anxiety are well documented. Everything from chronic pain, relational difficulties, digestive problems, further mental health concerns, as well as other things. And the problem isn't necessarily anxiety itself. Anxiety can sometimes help us, motivate us to respond in beneficial ways. So thinking about back, being anxious before your first music or dance recital, or taking your first at bat, or perhaps getting ourselves and others out of a dangerous situation. The problem with anxiety is when it moves from being a pressure we experience to becoming a powerful, overwhelming, and outsized to the detriment of our basic identity, fullness, and wholeness as human beings. Looking at the Sermon on the Mount, Travis mentioned how it may seem like Jesus is encouraging us not to be anxious at all, for he says, "Don't worry," which can also be translated as, "Don't be anxious." Thus, perhaps giving us more reason to be anxious about anxiety itself, that is somehow sinful or against God's will. However, if we believe in the classical theological doctrine that Jesus is both fully human and fully divine, then we know that Jesus himself would have experienced the concerns that comes with fulfilling our basic needs. Therefore, Jesus is doing in this well-known passage is casting anxiety as a significant spiritual concern about which he provides spiritual guidance. Jesus calls us first to strive for the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things will be given to you as well. When anxiety is central for us, our world becomes unbelievably small, with little room for anything more than other than ruminating over self-preservation that can serve to isolate us and severely diminish our existence. However, when we root ourselves in God by keeping God primary in our lives, we are much better able to manage the various pressures in our lives and thus are better able to live more fully into the abundant life that God wants for us all. Of course, this is much easier said than done. So now, recognizing that my time with you is limited, and I've got so much that I want to share with you about the topic of productivity, I better get to it right quick if I want to accomplish all that I want to achieve. So I see some of you all caught the irony of that statement. You see, I have been struggling with the need to be productive and its partner in a hurry my whole life. I directly remember as a little kid, I would often speed through the classroom assignments in school, of course, making careless errors along the way, especially if I knew that my efforts would yield something like the fastest student to reach, say, level 20 in math, back in the day when I could do math. Or when I was in junior high school, I had the opportunity to take woodshop as an elective class. And when I found out that you could come in during lunch or stay after school to work on projects, I did both so that I could create as many projects as possible during the semester. Why? So that I could be the student who produced the most. In my early adulthood, while my productivity goals matured from those of my youth, that constant nagging pressure to be productive still pressed on. And needless to say, I have been wrestling with this pressure to be productive for years. Some days making some progress, and other days taking a few steps back. For example, this past spring, I had big aspirations for our home garden. Has anyone here ever gotten carried away with their garden plans? Anybody? Yeah, So I was intending to grow beautiful strawberries, tons of raspberries and tomatoes to share, install a drip irrigation system, and I was finally going to get to replacing the prominently featured weed patch, more commonly known as half of our front yard, with a pollinator garden for our hummingbirds, bees, and butterfly friends. Well, as any of you who garden know, there's always more to do than there is time to do it. And it always takes twice as long to do something in the garden than you anticipated. So, as a result, about 7 weeks ago, I found myself in a dilemma. I needed to get my tomato seedlings in the grounds because they were starting to get leggy. They're getting really long, which isn't good for the plant. And, well, I too wanted to get a jump on things if I wanted to meet or exceed the amount I grew last year. But, I also desperately needed to fix the deer fence around the garden. In fact, I've been actually meaning to do it for months, since it was starting to show its age. And I knew that at some point this summer, that it might cause a problem. So now, given my past history of wanting to be productive and always being in a hurry, what did I choose? Plant the tomatoes or repair the fence? I, of course, planted the tomatoes. And what did that yield? Let's just say a major deer debacle ensued. Less than a week after planting my tomatoes, some of my backyard deer friends broke through the fencing, because I still hadn't repaired it, resulting in wiping out 3/4 of the tomatoes I planted, 2/3 of our strawberries that we were supposed to be harvesting this year, and trampling the carrot bed so badly that last I looked, which is actually even last night, there were two carrot plants coming up instead of the dozens that we should have had. Society places a lot of emphasis on being productive. How well are we, as defined by Webster Dictionary, producing in abundance, yielding results and profits, and effective in bringing about the certain expectations that have been established, whether it's at having a successful career, establishing a family, accumulating wealth, the list goes on. The tricky thing about productivity is that it has both positive and negative attributes, like Travis mentioned about anxiety. It can motivate us to accomplish great things, but it can also lead to monumental breakdowns in our well-being. For example, in terms of my garden, I was fortunate that, although my pride was knocked down a few notches, and I'll confess, a few tears were shed due to my productive ambitions, I still had time to replant my tomatoes after fixing the fence. Travis and I didn't lose access to food since we could go to the grocery store just a couple of miles away. And we had the financial means to repair the situation. However, when productivity is not kept in check, this can lead to what is called toxic productivity, which can be described as an uncontrollable need to feel productive at all times, at all costs. It can become harmful to your mental and physical health. For example, regularly working 12 hours a day, or habitually turning down invitations, neglecting healthcare appointments, and joking that you're taking a vacation from exercise. Or maybe you love the idea of taking time off, but you just know that the second you put your feet up, you'll think of something that needs to be immediately done. Or perhaps you feel triggered to do more when you see peers posting about their latest launch or their career milestones. I mean, shouldn't you be further along by now? This form of productivity is often confused with success. In other words, it's an accepted form of stress and an example of unhealthy boundaries in our culture. It's seen as a badge of honor and is glamorized in many ways. There's nothing wrong with being successful or productive and proficient, but when it comes at the expense of your health, it becomes a problem. It's also been noted that when productivity begins to harm your well-being, your relationships, and your work performance suffer too. This kind of production costs a lot. So how do we moderate the impact of productivity? I find today's scripture text provides some excellent strategies. So returning to our passage from 2 Corinthians, Paul writes in verse 6, "The one who sows sparingly will also reap sparingly, and the one who sows bountifully will also reap bountifully." You're familiar with this sentiment. It, along with a similar passage in Galatians 6, is often simplified, "You reap what you sow." Now there is some logic here. Whether you're growing backyard tomatoes or funding your retirement, Paul is correct. You can't expect significant results without making a significant investment. However, taken to its extreme end, this passage can undoubtedly be used to promote toxic productivity if we understand it purely in its material, transactional sense. It helps to remember that Paul's understanding of what it means to be productive is radically different, both at the time that it was written and now, from how society tends to view it. The context of this passage has to do with the Corinthians' part in a collection that Paul was taking for the benefit of the Christians in Jerusalem. And with that in mind, we can see that Paul is not saying that the more you do so, the more bounty you'll harvest for yourself. Rather, in this context, he's encouraging the people of Corinth to be generous in what they give, because the benefit of personal enrichment comes from great generosity, and blessings in abundance come from sharing abundantly with others. It is terribly reductionistic to limit Paul's thought here to a purely economic concept, because he's actually discussing the larger topic of good stewardship. The call to us through these words, then, is to reorient our understanding of what it means to be productive. Paul gives us a glimpse of this reorientation in verse 11 when he writes, "You will be enriched in every way for your great generosity, which will produce thanksgiving to God through us." For Paul, the true measure of productivity is not how much stuff we make or how much we earn for ourselves. It is how we honor God by helping others, which serves also to enrich us in ways far beyond what anything material can do. And then putting Paul's words in conversation with today's second passage from 1 Peter chapter 4, this gives us more guidance as to what we are to sow and the bounty we'll discover in our discipleship. Remembering what Webster's Dictionary said about productivity, how well are we honoring God by producing constant love for one another, yielding abundant hospitality towards one another, and bringing about service to one another? For when we intentionally sow love and hospitality and service, the bountiful harvest is not only a better life for everyone, but the thankful glorification of God. As Travis mentioned last Sunday in the beginning of the day, each week as part of our time together, we will offer a spiritual discipline that may be useful in working towards the fuller life that God has created for us. And for today's topic, the practice we'd like to suggest, and which again we'll be exploring after today's worship service on Wednesdays at 1 online, and there's a handout in the back for you, is a discipline of slowing. Slowing is a way to temper our inner sense of hurriedness and addiction to busyness. It is a way we honor our limits as finite creatures and the fact that God is found in the present moment. As pastor, professor, and author Dallas Willard wrote, though Jesus saw his work in the lives of others as urgent, pursued it patiently. Urgent and patient may not seem like words that go together, but in the Christian journey, a sense for both are absolutely necessary. We humans are called to have productive lives. We were created to be generative. Remember, our original parents' primary purpose in the garden was to be partners with the Lord in tending and keeping it. That is productivity, but it's productivity with and for God. Life has changed a lot since then, but that primary purpose, to be productive in the divine perspective, has remained the same. We hope that you will join us next week as Travis will be preaching on the pressures point of popularity. Here we are, servants of the Lord. May it be this day according to God's good and holy word. Amen.